Back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. How many of us live with back pain? How many of us have seen doctors who've told us we don't have many choices? Surgery is rarely the relief we might think it is. The conversation we're about to have may give you some hope in spades when it comes to certain kinds of back problems. Let's begin by introducing Assistant Professor and Dr. Richard Tallarico from the Spine Division in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Tallarico.
Good morning, Tricia.
And welcome to HealthLink On Air. And joining us is Pat Martin, a patient of Dr. Tallarico's and perhaps his number one fan, would you say, Pat?
Yes.
Among his number one fans. That's great. Well, welcome to both of you. Pat, we're going to talk to you in just a minute. First, I want to talk to Dr. Tallarico about your work, spine surgery. Now, I have to imagine that most of the patients you see are pretty desperate by the time they get to you.
Well, often patients come with a variety of ailments. Some have had back pain for a few weeks. Some have been in a disabling type situation for several years. We handle a variety of patients from non-operative to operative treatment, but my practice is a fairly complex practice with regards to spine surgery, and that means that I do see challenging cases week in and week out.
You do. I read when I was reading about you, and I really loved this, a quote of yours that actually says, spine surgery is an art, and an even bigger art is figuring out the layers of your patients. Not everything you need to know appears on an MRI. Explain that to us.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that I get the most information by sitting and listening to my patients' complaints. I think that often after hearing what they're suffering from, what their ailments are, I can get a pretty good idea of what's going on. And then I use my physical examination and radiographic studies to confirm that. But not everyone that has a terrible looking MRI needs a surgery, and not everyone that has ailments that are disabling need to go forward with surgery. Oftentimes we have to try non-operative treatments such as physical therapy, injections first. We usually reserve surgery for the last resort, except in extreme cases.
But I have to think, you know, based on what you're saying and what I've read about Pat, that this is really a combination of the physical and the mental.
That's absolutely right, and it goes on both ends. I think that from my standpoint, it's critical that I spend time talking to patients and assessing their overall expectations and how realistic they are about their problems and what their goals and expectations are. One patient may tell me that their goal is simply to spend time with their grandchildren and be able to lift them and follow them around the yard. Others have more lofty goals of returning to iron work and construction type, heavy labor type activities. And it's important for me to be able to match their expectations with what type of outcomes I can expect.
I love that. That is such a collaborative process, and it's so patient-centered, which to me is everything. So actually, I'm going to take something you just said. You said it depends on their expectations, and maybe their expectations are about riding bicycles. Pat, speak to me.
What do you want me to say?
Well, tell us about your experience. What took you to Dr. Tallarico?
Well, I couldn't walk a block. I slept in a recliner for 11 months. Because of the pains down my legs and in my back. And then my surgeon sent me to Dr. Tallarico, and we kind of didn't hit it off at the beginning because I expected him to do the surgery immediately, and he told me he wouldn't do it until he did his own MRIs
and checked you out.
And I had to quit smoking.
Oh, man.
And we had to get to know each other.
You did. Which
she didn't realize was as important as it was.
And
at that
I
time.
Left there. I was really mad.
Well, but then you went there. You were mad, but you were kind of driven. You came away with some information. And a few months later, in what, January of 2008, you decided to have surgery.
Yes. I went to come in the hospital at Upstate on January 28th. He did the first half of the surgery. January 30th, he did the second half. Then on February 13th, I had to go back up because of an infection that he had to clean out.
Uh-huh. But then you had all of your surgeries.
Yep.
And then you went to recover. And recovery took you a long time.
Yes, I went to 2 North, and I was there 4 weeks, and then I went home, and I called it house arrest until May 28th because of the infections.
Uh-huh.
And I had to keep going to his office, and he had to keep draining it. But then in July, I decided I was going to start riding my bike.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I had a little argument with the doctor, and I went up to the hospital and said I wanted to do a fundraiser for Golisano Children, and I'm riding 68 miles on my 68th birthday.
That's fabulous. Well, hold on just one second, because we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. What I want to know, Dr. Tallarico, is that a typical recovery? Does recovery take that long for back surgery?
It depends on the procedure and the magnitude of the procedure. For Pat's type of procedure, recovery would typically take, to reach a point of maximal medical improvement, up to a year.
Wow.
Pat was really courageous and determined, and she was able to really exceed a lot of the expectations we had, and she was back riding her bicycle, you know, within 6 months.
And riding a bike wasn't something you had done before the surgery, really, was it?
No, I never planned on doing a bicycle ride on my 68th birthday.
So on your 68th birthday, let's talk about that. You decided that you were going to ride your bike 68 miles for your 68th birthday, and you did it as a fundraiser.
Yes, and Dr. Tallarico did it with me.
Oh.
Because I challenged him in September on the Channel 10.
I love that. I love that. And you raised a lot.
Almost $8,000 with my hand.
That is fabulous. Raised. And you have donated it?
To the Golisano Children's Hospital for, I believe we're going to use it for a snoozlin' room.
Snoozlin' room, which we've not introduced to our listeners, but we are going to bring them a segment on that pretty soon. It's a room for children, and it's a multisensory room. Now, you also have another remarkable accomplishment, and that is you've written a book.
I wrote a book called On the Other Side of the Bedpan, because I'm a retired nurse, and I dedicated it to Dr. Tallarico.
Well, so from somebody who you really didn't like very much from the beginning, and now, as I said, you are probably one of his biggest fans. Tell us more about your book. What compelled you to write it?
It started out, it helped my mind, because I was really crazy. The medication he gave me was terrible, and I was confused, and I hallucinated, and I did some really bad things.
Oh, dear.
And so I started writing notes and throwing them in my suitcase.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got home, I said, I think I'll write a book.
Which now, Dr. Tallarico, you're probably her book's biggest fan.
That's right.
Tell us why.
Well, Pat's book really does a great job of capturing the human struggle, in particular when patients are dealing with physical ailments and physical challenges, and it really details her experience from the preoperative planning and her frustrations that she discussed. And, you know, I don't think Pat and I ever had real arguments. She just teases me mostly. But, you know, really setting up patients for the understanding of what the expectations are, what's involved preoperatively, how much a toll it takes during surgery and during recovery, and what type of challenges and successes she's had along the way. And Pat has tremendous courage and fortitude, and this book tells the highs and the lows, and ultimately it's a tale with a tremendous amount of hope, because as Pat hasn't, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she hasn't mentioned, I mean, she really has, from what she tells me, gotten her life back.
Wow.
And
would you say that's true?
Yes, yes.
You've gotten your life back.
He gave me a whole new life, and I do a lot of things, and my kids get upset sometimes because life is short.
Life is short.
And I've learned that, I'll tell you, and I could have went a completely different way. I volunteer on 2 North 1 day a week, and I see people in wheelchairs. And I know he told me I could have went blind from the surgery. I could have been paralyzed, but I knew I wasn't going to be.
Well, those were all risks, and you had to weigh the pros and the cons and the benefits and the risks. And Dr. Tallarico, I imagine that's a conversation you have to have with every patient.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when patients present to me with their complaints, whether they're large or small, I typically spend a fair amount of time with them. Because even smaller complaints, people need to understand what the process is, what the treatment options are. But in someone like Pat, with the problem that she had multi-level stenosis, degenerative disc disease that involved the entirety of her lumbar spine and down to her lumbosacral junction.
Wow.
Which required a large surgery, so large that it would have to be done in 2 stages, because someone in her age group with medical problems can't undergo 16 hours of surgery. So we often break the procedures down into 2 parts. And the point of this is that to make that type of decision requires multiple visits, multiple conversations, assessing expectations, being frank about the risks and the potential for complications. And those meetings occur over a series of months. And during that time, we're also getting tests, checking her bone quality, checking her nutritional status. And through that, I'm able to formulate an impression of whether or not I feel this patient is has the ability to have a good outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first part of my oath is to do no harm.
Right.
And it's very important for me to try to offer patients surgery that I feel will benefit from it. And it's been very helpful to spend time getting to know my patients, their families, and also using Pat's book for patients that are challenged with her type of problem that need large surgeries. No matter how much I tell them and explain to them, it's still my vantage point that mm-hmm. they're listening to. It's mm-hmm. not a patient's vantage point. And when they read Pat's book and we set up a network for them to call one another, they really get a lot of information. It's almost a support group.
Very good. Well, I would say that if our listeners are interested in purchasing your book, it's for sale, and we'll put a link from the HealthLink On Air website to information so they can contact you. Would that be good, Pat?
Fine.
And it's called On the Other Side of the Bedpan. And we thank you so much, too, for your contributions to the Children's Hospital, which I just think is a marvelous outcome. And Dr. Tallarico, you clearly developed a wonderful relationship with your patient. I imagine this will be an ongoing friendship forever, won't it?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Tricia. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
And listeners, we're going to take a quick break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.